Welcome to Death Holler, Season 5, When Bad Animals Go Bad. With your hosts, the Reverend Dr. Death and Lyraina. This season will include love.
Do you know how your husband died?
Oh yes, I killed him.
Transformations. And certified good boys and girls.
Cujo, what are you growling at?
Remember, when you're in Death Holler, listener discretion is always advised.
Perfect, go bad, dang!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Death Holler. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Death. Joining me, as always, my co-host, Lyraina, and we are going to discuss Wolf Cop. But first, we both watched Good Boy. Finally, Lyraina watched it, and we'll and kind of go over our thoughts of it. Not like a super in-depth review or anything, but just kind of, you know, what we thought of it as a movie. You watched it more recently than I did, Lyraina, so you go ahead and you start with your thoughts or, you know, on what you saw and what worked, what didn't.
Okay. Well, first I want to address the biggest issue I have is with everyone saying that this film is not a horror film, that it's more of a, it's not scary, it's more of a thriller. And okay, I mean, I'll let them have that, but I genuinely think that this was a horror film. You disagree.
It's more horror movie than like some of the ones that they lump in there. So, I mean, I don't see the problem with, you know, throwing that out there.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You had a creature in the film. You had a lot of supernatural theme going on. Okay. Was this in my head? Was there music or no?
I feel like it's pretty silent through most of the movie.
I feel like
honest.
It is too, but like, what were the intense scenes? I'm like, now I'm trying to remember, was there any intense scenes, or was it just so intense you thought you heard scary music in the background?
Yeah, it's probably more you thought it. I mean, I don't think there was, and B, the intensity of the movie is you being worried for the dog. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's really where most of the tension comes in this movie.
Yes. So in a nutshell, we have a film that you get to experience the supernatural, the ability, the sixth sense, if you will, through the eyes of a dog, which a lot of people think that animals do have that. I mean, you often see an animal staring off into the distance and you're like, what are you looking at? Which they do address in this film very well. And in this movie, you get to see what the dog sees. And I thought they did such a good job. I didn't realize, because I looked up some trivia on this film, I didn't realize it took them like 3 years to make this film.
Yeah, they kind of went over that if you watch it in the theater at the end of it, like a sweet little, I mean, it really was sweet, like heartwarming scene for like the director who was he's the main actor in the movie, but also he's the dog's owner, and like they said their dog wasn't an actual actor, so they had to film him just like in snippets.
Yes.
So they might only get like maybe a minute worth of usable film like in a day from
yes.
the dog.
They
you
said
know.
That they filmed probably about 2 hours a day, and then and there was actually another actor as the main actor, and then the director only stepped in when they had to work together, the dog and him. Like, the dog was always there on the scene, and he was there with the other actor, but whenever they actually had to work together, that was the actor, the director and his dog.
The only thing, I'm going to throw this out there, the only thing that I'm iffy on, the story is, the story's muddy. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really, like, they never really, like, give you a definition for what the thing is that's in the house. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, why it targets the family members that it does. You get the idea, spoiler, I mean, to a certain extent, that, you know, somebody gets trapped in the house. But, like, I mean, it's... I don't know if they were going for like an allegory of like some kind of like cancer or like some kind of terminal illness, like being like the real, I mean, what the supernatural threat really is, because when it starts like combining itself with the owner of the dog, like, I mean, I was like, okay, what is that, a possession type thing? Or is that, because it's also at the point in the movie where his condition gets worse. Mm-hmm. So is it like, you know, the estrangement that the dog is feeling, is it because of the fact that the, you know, his owner is like sick, and like, you know, whenever people get sick, and it's heartbreaking, the movie, whenever he does this, but like when people get sick, like the dog has the intention of just trying to, like, you know,
comfort
to, you know, lift up, you know, it's master, and like the guy just doesn't want to have anything to do with the dog. And then like, there's an estrangement. And I don't know, like, it's almost like in the movie, like, it's like a supernatural extension of, like, the disconnect you would have with your pet if you were, like, you had a terminal illness and you were going through the worst of it, basically.
I feel like so remember when we
Because watched... they set up at the beginning of the movie that the guy's got something wrong, yes, with him bad, like, it's brain cancer or something.
Yes. And,
you know.
Which I was confused at first, because he was bleeding so bad, I thought that he had gotten fucked up by the spirit. And that was like you know how when they go back to revisit something, like they showed at the beginning versus where it was actually at in the film making, yeah, process? That's what I thought I was seeing when I first saw it. Remember when we watched the, the Wolf of, was it the Snow Hollow or?
Yeah.
Okay. And one of our listeners jumped on and said, hey, I really think that the wolf was a metaphor for alcoholism.
Yes.
I think that this spirit, this entity was it spread like cancer. I think it was a metaphor for cancer.
That's what I was getting from it. I mean, the way that it spread, the way that it took over him completely, mm-hmm, and basically, you know how like dogs can smell cancer in theory, mm-hmm, like it didn't even smell right to the dog. Like, I mean, it all, and you know, and of course, if it was a brain tumor, you know, brain tumors make people act differently. And there's a certain point in the movie where he gets violent toward the dog to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And again, it could have been the cancer more so than anything actually taking him over, because of the fact that the tumor was pressing on a part of his brain, you know, that caused him to act differently. So,
yeah. So for this, they had a professional actor. I mean, like, you know, semi-professional, independent professional actor. They had the director, the director's wife, and the dog, not being an actor. I think that for what they put together, the editing process, the filming, the lighting, everything, even the movies, you could tell the movies weren't real horror films, that they were like put together by probably the director to look like old horror films. I think that they really put a lot of detail in it. I think it was a $75,000-ish budget.
Yeah, it was on the very low end. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They made $8 million.
I mean, and good on them. I mean, it's an entertaining movie. I mean, I'd probably give it around, I don't know, 3.8 or a 4 if I was just like spitballing something, as far as like, I mean, without a rewatch. I mean, that could affect it one way or the other. But I mean, when I watched it in the theater, I liked what I saw. I mean, like I said, the only thing is I felt like that the story, and of course it could be the fact that they're telling it from the dog's perspective, mm-hmm, but the story was a little bit muddled. I mean, but everything else I liked about the movie.
They did specifically say that. So they did say that it is from the dog's perspective and it's what the dog understands, which is quite a bit if you think about it. The dog isn't made to understand as many details as it does. It's going off of its instincts and instincts alone. It knows that something's wrong. It's there for its owner. It also sensed something else in the house, or did it sense something else in the house? And is this also like the owner that is, the cancer is spreading and it's taking him over. So it's very confusing, but it's also, to me, it's not confusing in a way that it doesn't make the film enjoyable.
No, it that doesn't affect it, or obviously I would have gave it a lot lower rating than I did. But.
Yeah, I don't know that it would have changed anything in the storyline. Now, the boyfriend did say that the timeline itself, he's like, I don't know how many days it's been. I don't know if it's been, you know, a couple of days, or if it's been a couple of weeks, or it's been a couple of months. I said it's been a couple of weeks because apparently that's how quickly the spirit took the grandpa, or whatever happened in the house took the grandpa.
And it's kind of heartbreaking too, whenever the dog can sense kind of what happened to the previous, you know, dog in the house, because, you know, it relives it through its senses or whatever. But
yes, I don't think that the previous dog died at the hands of the entity. I really don't think the entity truly exists per se. Like, I think it was great for show in this movie. I think it was a metaphor, kind of like somebody said, alcoholism for the Wolf of Snow Hollow. I think that the previous dog died because it got trapped between the two doors. But that would also not explain the doors opening and closing to let, you know, Indy, this current dog, you know, into its spots that it went into.
This is a spoiler, end of the movie, so skip ahead if you want to, you know, come back in a few minutes, whatever. But no, the dog, I mean, doesn't die, you know, but... Yes. It is so heartbreaking at the end of the movie when that dog tries to stay with its owner, and he's now trapped inside the house. Well, he's clearly died. His spirit is trapped in there.
He saw his own dead body. That was devastating.
Yeah. Yeah. And the dog doesn't want to leave its master. It's willing to basically lay there, and which could have been what happened to the previous dog, but it's willing to stay there and just basically die to be with its owner. And like, I don't know, man, that hit hard.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It really did.
Big time. And, okay, so I thought it was super cool because we noticed, we're like, where'd the chain go? Because the dog sometimes had the chain towards the end of the film. The chain was there, and then it wasn't. And at some point, you're like, where's the chain? Did he get free from it? And then all of a sudden, the master's being pulled by the chain, by the chain, by the spirit, all the way down to where it was dragged down to. And then you get to hear this owner say, you're a good boy, but you can't save me. And that's all the dog was trying to do this whole film.
Yep.
And no matter how scared he was, which is so funny because one of the things they said about Indy is that he is a naturally concerned looking dog. He constantly has a concerned look on his face, which is perfect for this film.
Yeah.
I thought there was enough good in this film in terms of everything that was involved. I didn't mind the storyline. I was just so invested in the dog. I think that's what helped me get rid of any maybe holes that might have been in the story. I thought that the lighting, the sound effects, the use of one location. I mean, we always say how that's just great, especially when you're talking about a low-budget film. And then everything that they did to edit what they could to get this film work around the dog, it was centered solely around the dog that, I mean, it's a 5 for me. It's a 5. There's nothing that I want to change about this film.
The story. I would change that in a heartbeat. Fine.
Yeah.
But it, I like I said, high 3s. 4, somewhere in that range is where it fell for me. It's a worthwhile movie. I'm glad that the director did what they did, and man, the acting from the dog is amazing. It really is.
Yes. Definitely a paid actor. The boyfriend gave it a 4.9. He said the only thing he would change would be the pain in his heart that he felt, and then of course the time frame that made no sense. He didn't understand the time frame, and I just think that both of you do not speak dog, so I can't.
I didn't need to understand the time frame. It's just I wanted more, you know, I wanted to know more if it was just like, if it truly was supernatural, or if it was, like I said, because I got a heavy vibe that it was just the owner's cancer that was the thing that the dog was sensing.
Yes. I mean, I think it was great that they added the supernatural, like when he went to go get the other dog's bandana, and then he just had this premonition that something bad really happened. And he kind of pulled away from it. I mean, so, so amazing. But then you see the dog had passed, and you see that the dog is still wearing its bandana. And you're like, okay, so it never actually got off. The dog just kind of imagined that, or I don't know. There's things that don't necessarily make sense. I really, really liked at the end. So what we end up finding out behind the scenes is that the owner's wife, who's also the owner of Indy, she's the one calling him up top to, you know, come up. And then you hear the supernatural whistle in the area that the spirit is,
down in the cellar, mm-hmm. basically.
And the dog is torn between both of its actual owners, which was really, really cool. And then eventually it takes a while and you're like, is this dog going to stay? Is something going to happen? Is the spirit going to grab the dog? And then the dog goes upstairs and he's free. And then he's with the owner, which in the film, she's playing the brother who passed. She's playing the sister, obviously.
There's another ghost movie that came out early this year called Presence that does like the movie from the perspective of the ghost. Mm-hmm. The concept of that story wise a lot better. I liked what they did with that one. But again, the acting of the dog and, you know, everything around it, I enjoyed this movie. So I did like it. It's yes. just, you know, it's just one of those things where I just need a little bit more clarity on what was going on. And I think I would have been fine.
So even with an independent film, you're saying a high three. Low budget independent film, high threes. Yeah. And it's a very short film. It's just a little over an hour.
Yeah, it's just barely into the territory of being a film. I mean, mm-hmm. like as far as that goes. I've been kind of lenient on a lot of movies this year. Like I know a lot of people gave shit to that Chris Stuckman's new movie, Shelby Oaks. There's things I liked about the movie a lot. I could see him becoming a greater filmmaker now as far as the movie itself. Like, but I mean, it's, you know, Rosemary's Baby, basically. That's giving away basically what it is, but like to a certain extent. But like, it's got enough Silent Hill vibes and some other stuff and the way that he films things that I think if the man gets, just like the director of this movie, I feel like if they... this is their first, they're kind of feeling things out once. And there's good bones there, good foundation. I think once they get their second movie, mm-hmm. I think there's going to be more to it because Mike Flanagan produced and gave accolades through his support to Chris Stuckman's Shelby Oaks. Mm-hmm. And it's the one movie that I could say for Flanagan that I wasn't the biggest fan of was his very first film. But after that, I mean, the man, yes. you know, enough said. So I think the same thing with this director and then of course the Shelby Oaks director,
which Mike Flanagan gave his high praises to them. He really, really liked this film.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think once they show that they've got the chops and they've got the, you know, to make a really, really good movie. And I think these are both like, you know, even if you don't like, you know, over the moon about them, I think there's enough there where you can like, okay, well, if these guys get enough of a chance and enough of a leg up, then the next one will probably be the one that knocks it out of the park. So
yeah, and if anyone is like me that really, really appreciated Indy, his acting and everything, enjoy it through this film because they said they will likely not be working with Indy again. He's not a paid actor. He's not trained. He is merely their family dog, and literally they had to edit whatever they could to get what they could out of this film. And I can only imagine how stressful that was.
Yeah. They had to do a lot of film tricks where they frame the scene in a way to where it looks like there's something else going on than what was actually going on. You know?
So anyways, so 3.5 Reverend.
No, that 3.8.
3.8. I mean, that's, okay. Yeah. And a 5.0 from me. 4.1 or 4.9 from the boyfriend, you know, all different scores. But I would say the one thing we can agree on is that you do need to watch this film. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd recommend people watch it. I mean, I can't imagine they'll come away like super disappointed. I mean, you know, especially if you're an animal lover, I mean, it'll pull your heartstrings. So, I mean, it does what it's supposed to do. That's again, strength of the director he took, obviously, and just with his editing, made you know, the dog seem like it had emotions, and you know, yes. And that's a hell of a feat. So,
and the most important thing everybody's asking: yes, the dog lives.
Yeah, there's no rut-row situation. However, there's going to be a rut-row situation in Wolf Cop for 2014.
We rolling right into it?
Yeah, we're doing this.
I got a surprise for you. You ready?
Yeah.
In the streets, half man, half wolf, pure beast. Patrol the town looking for trouble, man. Stuffing dead bodies in my duffel bag. Slash your face, rip the head off your body. Slam a cold beer, pump your body with the shotty.
Here come the wolf cop.
pretty sure that's copyrighted, but I don't know how serious they are about it. We're gonna find out, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, tagline: here comes the fuzz. Directed by Lowell Dean, written by Lowell Dean, music by Toby Bond and the Shooting Guns. Budget of $1.2 million. Box office data is not available. This was I think this was made for Shudder, honestly, or it's that RLJ Entertainment that Shudder's part of. So I mean, okay.
I was about to say, because even Good Boy was a AMC or a Shudder film. And we were able to get their budget, or not budget, but box office. So,
I don't know if this was released, is what I'm saying. I mean, they released Good Boy into theaters, but I don't know that they released this at all.
Shudder's getting bold with that. They're getting real brave with the releasing of the independent films in the theaters. I think it's good, though.
Yeah, I mean, well, they released
Late Night with the Devil.
Well, there's that, but When Evil Lurks or Where Evil Lurks, yes. I can't remember the name.
That was
of
such
it.
A good one. I have to make the boyfriend watch that one. I think he was a little not sure, because it's in Spanish and there's subtitles, and I was like, yeah, but I, a Latina, don't like subtitles, and I love that film. You can feel the emotion.
They don't say a lot in that movie, so mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. True.
Principal players in this is Leo Fafard, who plays Lou Guru. Yes, that is a pun. Drunk, cop, and werewolf. He also starred in another Wolf Cop.
Oh,
imagine
my God.
That. The funniest thing is that the man is not an actor. He works as a key grip and electrical camera operator on every other film that he's ever done.
I couldn't tell.
We're going to have words about this, because I find it funny that you hate so much about this, but we'll get to it whenever I'm discussing it. Amy Mattizio, who plays Tina Walsh, the deputy who actually does her job in the movie. She was in Just Friends. I think Leo was in that at some point too. I saw in there Night of the Zoopocalypse and another Wolf Cop. Sarah Lynn plays Jessica Barrett, the shape-shifting seductress. That's what I was hinting at in the Jurassic Park about, like, when I saw this woman, I'm like, there's no way that she's a bartender in, like, a, you know, like some, this podunk town. Like, she'd be doing something else entirely, just the way she looks and the way she carries herself. And of course, it turns out that she's the bad guy. Like, I mean, of course, I mean, that would, you know, anyways, she was in Humanity Bureau with Nicolas Cage, A Wounded Fawn, and Jacob's Wife, which I keep reading good things about that. I need to watch it. That's a Shudder movie too, by the way. And most of these actors and actresses are also in the, I mean, they're all Canadian, so they're also in the Hallmark movies.
Oh, I thought Imagine you were going to say Supernatural.
Well, they might have been, but the Hallmark movie specifically.
Hell yeah.
Jonathan Cherry plays Willie Higgins, the local gun owner and conspiracy nut. He was in Final Destination 2 and House of the Dead. And As soon as I saw this guy, I'm like, where did I just see him at? And of course, I figured it out pretty quick. Jesse Moss plays the gang leader. who doesn't piss blood in this movie, but he does sling candy.
Oh, that was him?
That was the bad guy from Ginger Snaps, the dude that gets the sexual STD. He plays the gang leader in this.
Oh, okay. Which, ironically, we did have blood being pissed in this film.
We did. I thought that was a weird coincidence. I think that they literally, they was like another Canadian werewolf movie. We're gonna take some stuff from it, and that's what they did. Synopsis. By day, Officer Lou Guru is a drunk layabout who spends more time looking for liquor and donuts than actual police work. By night, he's a werewolf ripping off the faces of meth manufacturers and doing some gnarly auto body work on his cop car. Can he remain sober long enough to figure out why there is a town sacrifice every 32 years during the solar eclipse, or will he become the next missing person? Half man, half wolf, all cop. Quotes. Piggy. The fuck are you, wolf cop? The fuzz. Chief, did you expect wolf cop a promotion?
I fucking hated that. I want to get off this ride.
All right. All right, visually, they had some good. They have some good gore scenes in this movie. The face getting ripped off is pretty good. Come on.
Okay, and I will say this, and I did say the boyfriend can back me up. I did say that the transition looked really good. The ickiness of the moving around.
The transition in this movie was more like Trick or Treat, where like the wolf is underneath the skin, and you just have to rip it off, basically.
The fucking exploding wiener, so fucking unnecessary.
Yeah, after they piss blood, that one's pretty bad.
Yes, we did not need to see that. So tired of seeing wieners.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking bad. I mean, have to see wieners. But we did see a tit in this movie, so there was that.
You got to see more than a tit. You got to see quite a hefty set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and there was whole sex scene. I mean, that was a body double, though. I was disappointed to discover that in the trivia. She of course, had to hire a body double. I'm like, well, your body was good enough. You could have done that. No, she
didn't want to show it, which is funny because I think that this body, you can tell me if I was wrong. But I feel like this body double had smaller boobs than she did.
I feel like she did. They did too. Yes. The look of the wolf, not bad.
No, it was not good. It was not good. The transition was great. The actual look of the wolf to me was cheap.
Well, I didn't like the skin on the face because it's just like colored in, but like the hair around the face and stuff is all right.
It was okay,
You know,
the lips look so horrible.
We have seen worse.
We have, but it was pretty low. It was pretty low. It's like the bottom two. Okay, like
I will say this: for a lower budget, and you gave this movie shit, but Ginger Snaps had a better looking werewolf.
A better looking werewolf. What did I give Ginger Snaps? Do we remember what I scored it?
You gave it like a 2 at best after I argued with you. So, I mean.
Wait, no. I thought I upped it a little bit because I gave it a 3.
You might have gave it a 2.5, but that was the highest you would go on that movie.
Okay, because I know I gave it a little bit more because it was independent.
And it had next to no budget. This had $1 million. Like, Ginger Snaps had like thousands.
Okay.
Story. So here's the thing. I don't know why you hate this, because this movie literally reminds me of like a werewolf version of Evil Dead. Like, the character is basically a ripoff of Ash.
Yes.
In all the ways that I find amusing.
Okay.
The story, I mean, is as bonkers as anything that Ash gets into in Ash versus Evil Dead.
Okay.
It's got that grindhouse feel to it, which is something I enjoy. It's, you know, like that's the reason I can enjoy it, because I don't take it seriously. Because it's like, what's that movie? Planet Terror. It's got Planet Terror vibes to it, like the whole. Okay. Which, granted, Planet Terror is a way better movie, but yes. Just the shit where they're like, you know, randomly, it's like, you know, the one guy's like. In Planet Terror is talking about the barbecue, and he's trying to figure out the secret recipe, and just like the shit like that. And like this, it's that grindhouse feel. And like, that's kind of what they were going for with this movie. Like, the way they even shot certain scenes. I mean, like, they zooming in on stuff, and like, you know, just, I mean, the crap that like Lou gets into whenever he's a, you know, like he, you gotta take it with a grain of salt whenever the guy's like literally like chugging Kentucky liquor, you know, and eating donuts as a fucking werewolf.
I mean, look, well, did we even get, okay, are we in the movie review? We've discussed visuals.
Yeah, we're talking story now.
We're story. Okay, we haven't talked about acting or music.
No, well, the acting is not great.
So, okay, good. So you give me that.
But it's a Grindhouse B movie. What, you're not supposed to have good acting in
okay,
those.
Okay, and music is good. I think if the music is good enough.
It's all right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know.
I have no complaints about it. I'll say that much. But that being said, like, okay, yes, you can't compare it to Planet Terror, though, because Planet Terror had way better visuals, way better.
And way more budget.
Way more budget, way more filming. The story was, actually, this had probably more of a solid storyline than Planet Terror, so I'll give it that. And then the acting, you had good actors, even though it was bad, it was supposed to be bad acting.
That's true, but. So Planet Terror and Death Proof are homages to this style of movie.
Understandably, and yes.
So, I mean, they were making just basically a grindhouse movie is what they were making with this. Like, I mean, the kind of thing you'd watch at a drive-in, you basically go to have, you know, some beers, smoke a joint, you know, fuck your girlfriend, kind of just let the movie play in the background, and like, you know, randomly you see a werewolf penis explode and you're like, what the fuck was that? Who cares? I'm getting some pussy. You know, that's basically the type of movie you're watching.
Okay, and full disclosure, you probably should know this. Yes, I liked Planet Terror, and like, yes, I liked Death Proof, but those weren't real grindhouse films. And when it comes to real grindhouse films, I'm not a fan. Not a huge fan. It feels like your heart
is broke. You would not get along with either Robert Rodriguez or Quentin Tarantino because they clearly love that genre. Like, that's why they made those movies.
That's fine, but they did a more refined version of it.
Well, they did, but that's what they were going for, was a more refined version.
Yes, which is good because you draw people into that genre, and that's fine. But I, just like Italian horror, not a huge fan of it. I feel like you've made me watch more Italian horror than I've ever seen in my life, and I am still not a fan
Italian,
of it.
A lot of Italian horror is grindhouse. Yes. Like, I mean, yes. That's what it is.
Well, that's why I brought the comparison up. So,
yeah.
I mean, shoot, but, like.
Okay, so Italian horror is like one of those things, you know, like when a guy gets a certain age, they either take up a World War II history or they start smoking meats. It's one of those things where they've lived long enough that they got to pick something. Italian horror is like when you've watched enough, like, horror movies in general, you're just like, I have expended, like, there's nothing new on the horizon, and then you see Italian horror and you're like, that I'm going to devote time to that, like, that's the next step. And then you kind of see like little things and you're like, the stories don't make any sense, but they got some good visuals going on and they got a lot of tits, and like, okay, I get where they're coming from.
I feel like there's a joke, and I always refer to the jokes that I hear, where it's like you've seen so much like crazy shit in porn, and you're like, what else could I see? And then you're you come across.
You go in that dark rabbit hole.
Oh, dark rabbit hole. The weird or something shit. Like Step Bro, Step Sis, and you're like, no, it's not my thing, but sure, I'll give it a try. What are you doing, Step Bro?
But that's where you get to whenever you watch enough horror movies that, I mean, like the grindhouse stuff, you see the appeal. It's like, okay, terrible acting, but most horror movies don't have great actors. Let's be honest. I mean, we cherry pick on this podcast the better acting ones. But I mean, even with that, you take a standard horror movie, a standard one, and you compare it to, say, Jurassic Park. Again, you know, we say it's horror, but it's still, you know, it's a blockbuster film. Night and day difference. Like, I mean, like the acting is, I mean, I'm sorry, but the Conjuring movies, they don't hold a candle acting wise to, you know, some of like Spielberg's best movies. Like, they just don't. Like, so first of all, so you got to accept, if you're a horror movie fan, we overlook bad acting because we like everything else around it. We like the gory visuals. Mm-hmm. We like the TNA. We like, you know, the just the wild shit that happens in these movies. And then once you get down that route, then you start, you're like, okay, well, if I can accept that, then like, maybe I can accept, you know, like Z-grade acting, like just the worst ever, because occasionally it's so bad that it gets good. And on top of that, like you start getting experiments with characters. It's like, okay, it would not work in a regular movie. Like this drunk, like piece of shit, like Lou in this movie, just like, I mean, and the whole farcical idea of this, like, you know, werewolf that goes around just, you know, eating donuts and drinking beer and like fucking, like, you know, this barmaid that ends up being like a reptilian, by the way.
Yes.
If you want to be a conspiracy nut, they are reptilians. Like, you just start, it's like, okay, well, that's just bonkers enough that I don't know. Like, I, you know, just like you said with the porn thing, it's like, I'm numb to like the basic, like vanilla stuff. This stuff's wild. This stuff's out there. I get that. This is fun. That's what this is. You're just not there yet. You've got a lot of watching horror movies until you get to the point where you appreciate this.
Yeah, and this is coming from somebody who is not at a point where I watch a lot of films in general.
Which is even worse, because you got to watch the good stuff to know when the bad stuff is, mm-hmm, like is actually not that bad.
I mean, shit, I need to get started on season 5 of Doctor, well, not season 5, but like I think it's season 9 of Doctor Who. I forget where I'm allegedly at right now. There's a ton of anime I have not watched. They're like, there's so much, and I'm like,
oh god, anime has some of the worst acting, but like, yes, some of the, but it can be really good too. So I mean,
yeah. So you know,
did you ever get up to Matt Smith on Doctor Who? Like, I know this is a tangent, but did you ever?
Oh, he's the next season. He's the next season. I'm waiting. I'm like, well, that is
you need to watch that. I mean, like, he is my favorite doctor.
That, I mean, like, I like him as an actor in general, so seeing him as the doctor is going to be real
exciting. Now, see, he's a good actor. Like, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I can appreciate, like, night and day. Like, I mean, it's not even the same ballpark. Like, this guy right here that plays Wolf Cop, whatever. But yes, like, Matt,
well,
Smith,
understandably.
Top tier.
Well, and then we're talking about Matt Smith, and then we're talking about the main doctor, the one who keeps coming back. I forget what the actor's name
Tenet.
Is.
Oh, Tennant. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know he's got his ways now, but in general, I think he was a great doctor.
He was good. I mean, I didn't have a problem with him, but like Matt Smith, to me, was so much better, mm-hmm, than Tennant. Like, it just depends on where you get in the show at. Like, yeah. And I did not. I went back and watched Tennant, and I appreciated him once it was over with. But like, you know, if Matt Smith got me into the show, like, that's, yeah, where I came in at.
So. Anyways,
but all that to say, I mean, Grindhouse again is like whenever you're getting like numb to all the other stuff, and you're just like, okay, I want some wild, stupid shit in there. And like, I think that's, and see, Tarantino, and I think that's where this all comes back to. Tarantino is a student of cinema. Like, he has watched the best movies and he's watched a ton of them. But like he cycles back and he appreciates like black exploitation, which is terrible acting but hilarious. And then he like the kung fu movies that are, I mean, you talk about shit acting. I mean, they're, I mean, and the visuals are terrible in them. But like, I mean, he, you know, he's watched the good stuff, and then he goes back and he's just like, you know, there's gems in this, like there, and that's, and he refined those gems and he polished them up and he made diamonds out of them. But you know, that, but he still appreciated the, you know, the rough, you know, versions. He cites this one movie called They Call Her One Eye, or Thriller is the name of the movie. I think it is a snuff film, basically. I mean, like they don't really kill the lead actress in her, but like, I'm pretty sure that she was like underage and got like, I mean, they were having her do sex in the actual film. And like, he holds this movie up and he says it's an inspiration for Kill Bill. And I'm just saying, like, I mean, that's the kind of grindhouse that Tarantino was into. So
I'm not surprised.
And it's, and the movie's the same setup as basically Kill Bill. Like, they basically leave her for dead. Her eyes shot out. That's why they call her One Eye. And she goes the rest of the movie and she fucking like just slow motion kills all the fuckers that mess with her. So, I mean, you know, that, but you gotta, it's when you see enough of this stuff is whenever you start appreciating the crazy shit. And you're not there yet.
I'm not there yet. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The acting's off. The acting's awful.
It is, yeah. And look at, like, I wanted to look at the acting and be like, yes, they know that it's bad. And I wanted to appreciate it for what it was. I struggled. But let's get into trivia. Let's hear some of that. Let's see if the trivia kind of lifts my spirits a little bit.
It probably won't. There's not a lot of it. When Lou first comes to the police station and he opens the drawer to his desk, you get a quick glimpse of what looks like a Jack Daniel's old number 7 Tennessee whiskey bottle, but the label actually says it's Jim Dandy's old number 2 Kentucky whiskey.
Oh, shit.
There's a scene in front of an auto body repair shop called Styles Auto Body. Styles was Scott Howard's best friend in the movie Teen Wolf.
Oh, okay.
Michael J. Fox. Sarah Lynn used the body double for a love scene, as we've discussed. The exterior of the police station was an abandoned hamburger restaurant.
Oh, okay. I mean, that makes sense because it like didn't look like your typical. It didn't look like a typical police station.
I like the fact that like, and I guess because his boss was like one of the reptilians and didn't care, but like he literally pulls up in his the chief of police's space and knocks over his fucking sign and never gets called out on it at all. He gets called out for being drunk, I mean, which is reasonable, but, you know. The main character's name, Lou Guru, is also the name of a werewolf located near the swamps in the French folklore. The Lou Guru, also called Rougarou, is a common mythical creature in French Louisiana folktales. So, there you go.
Interesting.
And that's trivia. That's what you get. And you don't throw a fit.
If I could slap you.
And yes, I for pure enjoyment, I give this movie a 4. Now, if I'm rating it on the...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, pure enjoyment. Now, if I'm giving this movie its rating based upon its actual, like, you know, a 2, maybe, it's bad. It's a bad movie, but it's enjoyable. It's a fucking enjoyable movie.
Okay.
I enjoy watching a werewolf kill meth heads. I'm sorry. That is fun.
I'm going to upset you so bad right now, and I am so sorry to all the horror fans out there that are like, she's fake as fuck. That's fine.
It's a 0, right?
No. But hear me out. You know what this film kind of reminded me of? It's a cult classic, and I am going to be absolutely fucking persecuted for this. Like, I am going to get, like... Everyone's going to hate me. It reminded me of The Toxic Avenger, and I don't like that movie. I don't like any of those movies.
That also is a grindhouse movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I enjoy The Toxic Avenger as much as some people do.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's one of those weird films, especially because I feel like there's a lot of, if not innuendo, actual sexual scenarios. And I'm like,
innuendo, my Nintendo.
This podcast, we're going home. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ugh, I don't know. So I don't know. It's obviously there was a fucking. Is that like? Why can't I think of the word right now? When you fucking animals, bestiality. Was that?
That's the word. I don't know why you're thinking about it, but that's the word.
Because is that what happened in this film?
Oh, well.
Why am I thinking about that? This film is why I'm thinking about that. I mean,
a reptilian slept with a werewolf, so is it really bestiality, or is it like species, interspecies breeding? I don't know. I don't know what you'd call that. I mean, it is furry sex, and that's weird. And I'm sorry, and this might, if our audience is composed mostly of furries, then, you know. We have strayed from the Lord in all the ways that we can. Furry sex is weird, and I don't like it. I don't like the concept of it. I'm gonna stand on that ground. Like furries, they can go and be with themselves and out of the public eye.
Out of the public eye. There you go. That's the thing, is because I am not okay with just straight man and woman sex in public. I don't think anything sexuality at all.
Oh no, yeah. In the public PDA eye. PDA is gross, especially when you're sitting there and just basically fucking. I mean,
exactly.
Like, nobody wants to see that.
Look at that's the thing, and so it's like, so I'm not okay. Look at if you have into some kinks, fine. I'm not here to yuck anyone's yum. Keep it behind closed doors. Keep it away from our children. Keep it away from public view. Like, keep that shit in the sheets, not in the streets.
That's the problem, though. I feel like furries, because of their association with cosplay and or like anime and some other stuff, they tend to associate with children way more than any of other
kinks. It's appealing to kids, too. Also, y'all stink. Please take a shower. I'm sorry, but I have been to way too many conventions, and like, I think it's because the suits don't get washed very often, or like, it's really hot in there, but wear some deodorant. Rest in peace, tangent. Podcast.
Tangent, but does the girls with the cat ears or the bunny ears, like, does that border on furry stuff? I think it does, slightly.
I don't think it does. I mean, like, yeah, it's a play on it, but it's also, you got the Playboy bunny girls, you know, that wore rabbit ears and a tail right between the butt crack. Now, if it is a butt plug with a
foxtail or something like that coming out of it, that's kind of weird.
That's absolutely furry territory.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want to walk around with one of those.
But fucking a werewolf, I mean, you know.
I feel like it's borderline bestiality or furry.
Yeah, and she did comment that she liked that version of him better, so that does say something about her. And she admitted fucking another werewolf at another point, so she's got a type.
She's definitely got a thing. So like I said, I kind of felt like this was very toxic Avenger-related, which is, okay, Grindhouse, which I should have assumed that by now. This one, because the score went up a little bit, so because it is, you know, a low-budget film and it is Grindhouse-themed, so it's supposed to have bad acting, all that, I have raised the score up to a 1.
All right, so not a 0, but a 1. Okay, I got you.
No, it was going to be a 0.5. I wasn't going to give it a 0. I mean, it's a film. Somebody put some time. They also came out with a second one. They were serious about this.
I need to watch that.
Okay, you can watch
that. I'm not saying I'm going to make you watch it. I'm saying I need to watch it. I've yet to watch Wolf Cop 2 or another Wolf Cop.
I just opened up the boyfriend's mic. Would you like to explain to the audience what you experienced during us watching this film?
It was pure comedy.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be funny.
No. Her reactions on the couch. It was just, why am I still here? Why haven't I turned this off? I just want to go lay down. Really, the penis?
What did my face look like? Did I have that bitch face that I always have when people are trying to entertain me and I'm like, don't talk to me?
It was very much, go away, tater tot.
Mm-hmm. I apparently did not realize how much of a resting bitch face I have when I'm not being entertained or if I don't want to talk to you or whatnot. And apparently I wear it 24/7 at work. Like, it's apparently my personality at work. I don't know. So bad that when my boyfriend came to the door to greet me, to surprise me at work, he got the stare down. And then I was like, oh, shit. So I imagine my very unamused look on my face, I just looked like I just had resting bitch face the entire film. Was that it? Was there anything else you wanted to add, Antonio?
No, not really.
He's new to podcasting.
To quote Marty McFly, you're not ready for that, but you will love it later. I'll paraphrase him a little bit. So,
it's funny to think that when we started this, we both hated how we sounded and everything. But yes, here we are, what, 4 years later?
Yeah.
In the chair, talking shit and enjoying the comments or two that we get every now and then.
I mean, of course you always enjoy the comments. I mean, somebody took the time to say them, you know, as long as they're not something like, you guys are dumb. This was supposed to be a movie and I was supposed to watch it and you were talking about the movie. It's like, what part of this did you not understand?
Yeah,
like,
what part of movie review did you not understand? That's the fun. It is, it's funny now. They never respond back to the comments, but you're like, hey, it says movie review, so I hope this helps.
And then this wood chick started talking about bestiality, and it's like,
and he didn't like furries. Yeah, Sailor
I'm
says.
Sorry, but you're right. Furries, they stink. Like, they don't. Oh God.
It's like, look at again. Do your thing, okay? And conventions.
I think cosplay is amazing. The people that take time out. They're inventive. It's very creative. Artistic level is off the charts. But furries basically buy these weird fucking suits that, like, you know, somebody else makes, and then they don't ever wash them.
Yes.
And then they go out and they do weird shit. Like, I mean, like in public, like all the time.
I mean, shockingly, I don't see that frequently out here. And that's crazy because it's California. But at the conventions, they are out and those suits are stanky. And it's like, it is so much. It is so obvious, too.
Nine times out of ten, and I mean, whatever, but it's, again, it's in public. They're the ones that are, like, in the hallways trying to get people to partake in their orgies and shit at these conventions. And
is that a thing out in Kentucky?
It's a thing out in just the Eastern United States in general. Like, I think at Dragon Con in Atlanta is where it probably is the worst. Chris Gore talks about it all the time. He's like, you know, a bunch of furries invited him, you know, back to their, you know, hotel room, blah, blah, blah. They're weird.
What is, my boyfriend has some comments about Dragon Con apparently, but while he's getting to that, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen out here in California. Like, you know, like, hey, join our fucking furry orgy or whatever. I just don't, like, I haven't seen anything so obvious about it. Oh, he said he's in a Discord.
You have to go back to the hotel room that's like the sponsor for the convention. Well, that's where it really happens.
Ugh, gross. He said he's in a Discord and there's two Dragon Cons. I guess they dress up, and he says it's very quite interesting. Look at there's.
You have furries in your Discord.
Dragon furries.
Oh
yes.
My god!
Not mine. Well, it's not his. It's one that he's in. What are you? Do I need to Do I need to monitor your Discord now too?
I think so. I think this needs to be squashed.
Yeah. What is happening? What are you doing? Is this part of the games that you're playing? What the fuck are you in? I'm going to end this show so I can beat my boyfriend. Oh, he's typing. Go ahead. Explain yourself. Okay, and?
I don't see a good explanation yet.
You're not explaining yourself.
You got a lot of explaining to do, Lucy.
You don't need to. Yes, you do.
That's going to be a conversation.
Yeah, we're going to have a conversation later. What the fuck, dude?
Okay. This Wolf Cop has possibly drove a wedge between two people. And not because of the quality of the movie necessarily. We can all agree that the quality is bad, but I agree. But I think it was intentionally bad for the humor, and they have their own other opinions. This furry situation is scandalous. I don't have any other word for it.
Yeah.
Scandalous.
I'm going to beat his ass.
All right, folks, with that, peace be with you.
And with your spirit.